Well, I want to thank you for being with us this morning and trust that the Lord will bless you richly for this time with His people and His Word. If you'll turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, we want to begin this morning with where we left off last time. And the verses will actually be verse 29. But what I would like to do is move back to verse 20 just to capture the context and where we've been. And we're going to read together from verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 4 to the end of the chapter. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have learned Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you, being renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Let him who steals, steal no longer, but rather let him labor performing that with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need. And let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word as we look at these verses and consider the life that we have in Jesus Christ. We've been called to walk in holiness, and as we looked through the study of Ephesians, we have received the call to walk in unity, and then the call to walk in love and to be imitators of God. But here we get down to some very practical aspects of putting on the new self and what it actually means to live and to be living the Christian life. So we're to put on this new man. And I love the word there. It's actually, it can be translated as new self, as we have on the screen above. But the idea is that the new person, the new man. Therefore, if any man is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. He is old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. In Christ Jesus, things are new to us. There's new life. And so we're being renewed in His likeness. If we're to look there in verses 20, the way that we have learned Christ, and this is important to you, if we consider the breakdown of what the therefore in verse 25 means, it's relating back or speaking to the fact that we are called to follow Christ. And in the following of Christ, at the point of salvation, the Scripture teaches us that we have put off the old man, the former manner of life has been done away with, and that we are to put on, or that we have, and it's the verb tense is important here, it's something that has happened in the past. So at your salvation, at the point of salvation, the old person or the old man died at the cross of Calvary. So God sees you as having been what we call born again at the point of salvation. At that point, you put on the new person. You became a new creature in Christ. That's salvation, initial salvation. Now in verse 23, it says, and that you, being renewed in the spirit of your mind, this mental renewal is a progressive thing that takes place in the present sense. In the past, we were made new. The old was done away with. We became a new person in Christ when we were born again. We were spiritually awakened, whereas we were dead in our trespasses and sin, as the Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2. But you who were dead in your trespasses, God has made alive and raised you up with Christ and seated you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now that's what we call our position in Christ. It means that as new creatures, we have put off the old, put on the new. We're new creatures in Christ. And there's this process that begins of a mental type of renewal where the spirit of our mind is being renewed. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about in these verses. Last time, we looked at the fact that we're supposed to lay aside falsehood and speak the truth to one another. Now, if we have, as believers, a problem with speaking the truth, if we have problems telling lies and spinning stories, then we need to give that to Christ. Because the Lord wants for us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ and to learn in this progressive plan and purpose that God has for us to learn how to speak the truth to one another. So, in this church body, when someone tells you something, you ought to be able to rely upon it, to know it's true. It's not fabricated, it's not spun. The challenge is to speak the truth to one another. And probably in a greater contextual way, there's a sense in which speaking the truth is spiritual truth. Because we see when Jesus had the conflict with the Pharisees and the Sadducees there in John chapter 8, that there was this dialogue that he had about speaking the truth. And he said, I speak to you the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the truth is an important thing in God's Word. And what needs to come out of God's people's mouth is truth. Speaking Scripture, speaking love and grace, and things which are needful to one another. And so we're to lay aside falsehood and speak the truth. We're to be angry. Now this is a righteous anger toward those things which we should righteously be angry over. But to sin not. And to not allow or give place for Satan to control our lives. Because when anger controls us, we're controlled by the old nature. By that part of the old man that needs to be put to the cross of Calvary, there to death, where Jesus died and our sins were placed, and where we became new creatures. Mental renewal means that we are angry, but it is righteous anger without sin. And the scriptural model there is to let not the sun go down on your wrath. Don't hold on to anger, but let it go. Okay, and then thirdly, and the last thing that we looked at last time is that one who steals is to steal no longer. That work has a glory and a benefit to all work. There's honor in all labor. And it's the mandate that's given in Scripture for God's people for us to work so that we can supply need for others. Because these things are temporal, but loving one another and caring for others is what we've been called to. And it's a wonderful privilege that a believer has been given. So we want to talk further about the process of the mental renewal of the spirit of the mind. Now, when we talk about the spirit of the mind, we're not talking about mental renewal in the sense of me being able to speak clear or having a good memory or a sharper mind. We're talking about mental renewal in the sense of understanding the world from the spiritual realm, from God's perspective. And as we grow in that and we progress in that, ultimately, God's plan and purpose is that we are to be resurrected in a new body in Jesus Christ. Mortality is to put on immortality. And this body of sin and death is done away with into the new life, the redemption that God has called us to. So in the past, we have been reborn. Old done away, new begun, new life. In the present, We're progressively being renewed, growing, because God's purpose for you is that you might be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. God is interested in taking us as His people and conforming us into the image of His Son, making us like Jesus. In fact, if you look down to chapter 5, it says, "Therefore be imitators of God." And God has provided a very special way for us to do that. In the mental renewal process that God gives to us, His Holy Spirit has come to indwell His people. And that Holy Spirit quickens the mortal body. He enables us to live the Christian life. And so that progressive aspect is there, where we daily are growing more like Jesus. And that should be taking place in all of our lives. We want to keep moving forward. The Apostle Paul says, "I press on for the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus," right? So we press on for it. It's the goal. It's the eternal value of the things that God has given to us. And as our minds spiritually are renewed and quickened toward spiritual things and toward eternal things, then we begin to invest in a different way and think in different ways. And God does great and wonderful things for us. And so here we have our first three aspects of the progression of the renewal for the Christian person. That the Apostle Paul gives specific, direct commands for us to obey. And it's kind of nice, but they're broken down. Each one of these five admonitions are broken down with a negative command and a positive command and a reason for that negative and positive command, because they usually counterbalance. And we'll find that very same pattern in our verse today. But last time we looked at not lying, not speaking falsehood, but speaking the truth, being angry, but a righteous anger, but not allowing anger to be harbored or for it to continue, and then not to steal, but to work, to share. So some good lessons there. Let's look then at verse 29. Verse 29, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification or building up, according to the need of the moment, that it may be of grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." So this is a good word for us, and I am just going to camp on this probably this morning, because I think this is such an essential issue for every church, for every group of believers. It is important for us to learn to control the tongue, the importance of what it means to let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word is good for edification. And I want to just say this about Grace Bible Church. As I've thought through the different churches that I've known and observed and been around, you do very well, for the most part, with your words and with speech and kindness toward one another in general. This is a good church. And I'm not just blowing that kind of smoke because I'm pastoring here. It's from observation of our church body that in general, I notice that there's a tenderness toward one another and a care that's taken with the kind of words that you speak. But on counterbalance to that, I want to express to you the importance of what it means to for us to be careful. It's very easy to care for certain people in our church body that, and you know, there are times when as brothers and sisters we really go through some really hard things, and it puts us in a vulnerable place to where we're exposed. And as we grow together as a church body and get to know one another, you see the flaws and the different areas of sin, and then as we go along and live life together, you know, we come up against these difficult and hard things that happen, and it's very easy though for us as a group to, as we begin to talk, to get too curious about things and to say things or to turn conversation that is meant or should be concern for others into gossip, or things that maybe not even gossip, but maybe just something that can harm or hurt someone because they're in a vulnerable place or vulnerable situation. So when we talk about words that edify and unwholesome words, we want to address some of these things. Now let's look at a couple of principles here that we might consider. First of all, what we find in your verse there from verse 29 is that we are to let know or each and every worthless word not proceed out of our mouth. That it's a negative. Let not a single word. And it's interesting the way the scripture teaches it here, because it gives indication we're not talking about a speech here, but just a single word can be devastating. And it can impede spiritual growth. So let not a single word impede spiritual growth. The point that I would like to make is that we're to be in control of our words here according to Scripture. Be in control of your words. And when it says that it may not proceed, the idea is that there's a it, that it proceeds not. It's the idea that this present progressive command is a call. When it says let it proceed not, it's a call for a cessation of an activity that's taken place. So what that tells us is that as Paul looks at this wonderful church in Ephesus, and it was a wonderful church in that day and time, he looks at them and he says, you know, be careful about this. Cease this activity. Let not any corrupt or worthless, probably unwholesome or useless word would be a good translation for that there. But it's to proceed not from your mouth. It's to cease. Okay? And secondly, it gives us the idea that we're to call each of these useless words. So this idea of calling a useless word, again, the word is in singular there. That word, individual words, it's not speeches. And we find in Matthew 12:36 this admonition. But I tell you that every useless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for in the day of judgment. So that tells us that we need to be careful with our speech, careful with our words. And that's a beautiful picture there, because when you speak words, you can't recover them at times, right? Can you all read that at all? Is it readable? Good. Okay, I was hoping it would be. So we're to call each useless word there. And that means the word for useless or corrupt is sapros. And it means unwholesome or worthless or useless. It's used in the sense of the idea of being corrupt. It sometimes was used to describe rotten wood or withered flowers or rancid fish. And so when we let no corrupt or word, the idea there might be, if that's the nuance, the meaning of that word, would be something that's rotten, let it not escape from your mouth to harm or to impede any spiritual growth. Now, I was thinking of my, I believe it was my freshman year at seminary, in Dallas Theological Seminary, and there were three stories. 60 guys lived in these dorms. That's when I was single. And so one day, one afternoon, I came out of the room and I was going, oh man, what is that odor? And I walked down the hall and these guys were coming out of their dorm rooms from studying. And they were like filing up. What is that? And we went downstairs and it turns out that a brother from Nigeria, he had some friends that shipped him some food. Okay? And it came, it was a delicacy from Nigeria. And it was called a fish ball. It's kind of like a meatloaf type thing with meal and stuff all together, but it had been shipped some distance, and he had placed it in the microwave. And so from the third floor, this odor emanated. And we were going, what is that? What is that smell? And so, you know, of course, some of them were saying, don't eat it. You know, don't eat that stuff. And he was going, what's the matter with you? But the idea there of rancid fish or corrupt is something that's not consumable. When you think about in terms of maybe the cowboy out there, he says, now that's a hard word to swallow. And but there's an idea that we consume words. You see what I'm saying? And this is the, kind of the picture here, that the word that we consume needs to be good. It's and the idea with you know, having to you know, I don't know if I can swallow that story or not. That's the idea of taking in or believing words that have been spoken to you. So we get that kind of picture here, and Paul is saying, don't be feeding out that type of thing that is impossible or hard to swallow. It's bad for the person that would cause harm. And so the idea of rottenness, but probably the word has more of an idea of bad fruit. In fact, if we were to look at some verses from Scripture in which this word is used, there's the passage in Matthew 7:17 where it says, so every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. Okay? So that bad fruit, that word for bad, sapros, is the same word. It doesn't necessarily mean rotten. It just means that it's not good for consumption. Therefore, I think our passage is not simply speaking about four-letter words and that type of thing, but about all kinds of speech. It would certainly include four-letter words or whatever is not edifying or building up to the body. But it would include a broader scan than that. It's not necessarily really corrupt and foul words, but sometimes just words that are not good for consumption is the idea in Scripture. And then, secondly, in Matthew 13:37-50, we have the picture of a dragnet. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like the dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it upon the beach and they sat down and gathered the good fish into the containers. But the sapros, they threw away. So it's the idea of this calling. I remember that when I was a youth pastor, we took our young people and we went fishing for carp. Okay? And I don't know if you've ever fished for carp, but you take the stink bait and you throw it out there. And then they start feeding. They come up, you put it out early, and then you put these little round balls on these hooks, and you throw them out, and the carp, they've got these little suckers for a mouth, and it kind of sucks. And they're really gross bottom feeders. So you don't eat them, they're not good. But they come along, and they pull at your line, and you see that they're there, but you wait, because they always check it out first. When they come back that second time, you jerk the hook and you caught yourself a carp. And they're great fighters. They're fun to catch. But as we caught these carp, you don't eat them. And the lake's full of them. I'm glad Carol's not here this morning this year. That'll be good. But what we would do is we'd cast them out. We'd throw them over on the shore. They were thrown aside because they were worthless fish, useless. And that's the idea of the word that is useless. Or it's bad fruit or bad fish in the sense that it's not edible. It's not clean. In the same way, our words need to be edible. They need to feed. You know, we're to desire the sincere milk of the Word. And we're to speak God's Word to one another and the principles of God's Word to one another. And we grow on that. But if we're feeding junk, if it's the world viewpoint, and you're feeding someone that junk, and they're taking those principles and the deception of the world and of Satan and of the flesh and consuming that and living by those principles, then it's damaging to them.